That'd be all right. Preach with background music. Turn this down just a little bit. Revelation chapter number 21, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And I guess I'm just going to be preaching on our road to heaven, our way to heaven. Kathy just sung about the heaven that's ahead of us, and I'm going to try to give you some thoughts this morning on why we preach, why we do what we do, why we have missions conference, why we have revivals, why we tell people about the Lord. And there's a reason for that. It's not just to fill up time. It's not just to take up space that we do, but there's a reason behind all the things that we do as a believer, as a church. And I find here in chapter 21 of the Revelation, I believe we find the real reason. Verse number 1 says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne, Behold, I make all things new, and he saith unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Why do we do what we do? Why do we preach? The reason for our message, the reason for our work, the reason for our church is because there is a hell to avoid. There's a hell to shun. Hell is real. It's spoken of here in this last verse that we read, verse number 8. The abominable, the murderers, and a whole list of people there that have that lifestyle and practice that style of living. It says they shall have no part in the things of the Lord. They'll have no part in the things of God, but their part will be in the lake of fire that burneth forever and forever, the fire and brimstone that the Bible calls hell. Hell is still real. It's not popular. It's not maybe politically correct to talk about hell and tell people they're going to hell, but hell is real. And the reason we do what we do this morning, and the reason we say what we say, and the work that we do is because there's a hell to avoid. There's a hell that can be avoided. The person does not have to die and go to a devil's hell. But there's a far better, far greater reason, I believe, that we do what we do and preach what we preach and live the way we live and accept the things of God is because there is a heaven to gain. Now, it would be enough to miss hell, but thank God He's given us heaven. He's given us a place that is also just as real as the place we're sitting in right now, and the seat and the pew and the house that we live in, the church we come to, and the places we go. Heaven is just that real. Now, heaven is not an afterthought with God. Heaven has always been in the mind of God and from the very beginning. If you go with me just for a moment, go all the way back to the creation, even before the creation, you'll find that there was a pattern, a plan that God had for this world and what would later become His creative acts, the 6 days of creation, the seventh day He rested. And by the way, those are 7 literal days and they're not periods of time. There are 7 days that God made upon this earth everything that is made. And the reason we preach is because God in His magnificent understanding and knowledge, even before the beginning and the foundation of this world, God had a plan that we might go to heaven. And so from Genesis, we see the hand of God in from creation and on down the stories that we have told our children. And we know about Abraham. We learn about Isaac and Jacob. We learn about King David in the Old Testament and his son and Solomon and all the things that were involved in the nation of Israel. We learn about the stories of Jonah and the different things that are taking place as we come through all the books of the Bible. We come to the New Testament. We have the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ being born of a virgin. And the reason we have what we have and do what we do is because we believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. And so therefore, we have something to live for. From the very beginning to the very end, we can take it like a scroll being opened and read as it is read. It's closed on one side and opened on the other. There is the purpose and the plan of God revealed throughout the Word of God. He has given us that message, and we believe that Jesus is coming. In our Sunday school hour this morning, in these last few weeks, we've been dealing with that subject of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these next few weeks and months in the Revelation, we'll be studying in our Sunday school time that Jesus is coming. And so we believe all this, and that's why we do what we do. That's why we preach what we preach. That's why we stand where we stand. Because one of these days, God will deliver His saints unto His Son, and we will be given as a bride adorned for her husband, and of course the bridegroom being the Lord Jesus Christ. He will deliver His own. You see, God has worked all the way through from the time past and history. We find in our own country things that have taken place. We find in our world, we had World War I, we had World War II. All of those things was putting and getting countries in right positions and right places. We have the wars going on now in the world. And all these things are getting us to the point that one day Jesus will put the period to the end of the statement and all things will be finished. Turn over, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in verse number 3, and we'll read a few verses here. Now, these verses, to some folks, are troublesome because of the content of the message. But if you'll just take the Scripture for what it says, I don't believe you'll be troubled. I believe it'll be an encouraging encouragement to our heart. The Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now the key here is in Christ. Notice verse number 4. "According as He has chosen us in Him," or in Christ, "before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved," or in Christ, "in whom we have redemption through His blood and forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the will of the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom also ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Now those verses tell us that God had a plan from the very beginning. These things that are taking place around us on a national or a worldwide scheme are not things that are unknown to our God. These are not things that have taken Him by shock or surprise. And it's not something that has put God over in the corner and say, "What am I going to do now?" For you see, God has, according to His good pleasure, the Bible says here, according to His purpose, according to the workings of His will, God has brought these things together and is bringing those things together, that one day He might present us before the Lord as a faultless, perfect child of God. And to do that, He's going to work in this world, and thank God He's going to work in me. And the reason we believe what we believe, and the reason we preach, the reason we have conferences and revivals and special services, and the reason we do all that we do, is because there is a heaven out there that we are going to one day if we believe and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is a hell out there if we reject Him. And so the purpose behind all the things that we do, someone says maybe the purpose behind all this madness. No, it's not madness. It's saneness to believe in the Lord. It's a good thing to believe the Word of God. It's a wonderful thing to know that God has a plan for my life and a plan for your life, and that God is going to work it out in your life according to His good pleasure and His good will. And it's something that He has designed for every one of us. And the last thing of that design is that one day we go to heaven. Life doesn't stop when we stop breathing. We're not like the dogs out there in the yard. We're not like the deer out here in the field. We looked out yesterday evening about dark, and 26 or 28 deer was out there, a beautiful stance as they were grazing there in that field. But we're not like them. They shall live and they shall die and they'll be forgotten. We're made in the image of God, in His likeness, in His creation. He breathed upon man, and through His nostrils, and man became a living soul created in the very image of God. Now that image has been mired. That image has been taken and distorted. But it does not change the fact that man is a result of the creation of God. No room anywhere for this stuff called evolution. God created man. God made man in His own image. Now that image is to be one day presented to Him, and that we will be there in heaven. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, one day tells us that He went to prepare a place for us. Now, He didn't go prepare heaven for us, but He went to prepare a special place. And He says that in My Father's house, many mansions. He says, if it wasn't so, I'd tell you. But He said, I go prepare a place for you. That where I am, there you may be also. You see, man has a destiny. Man has a time that he is going to stand and face his Creator. The reason the world don't want to think about a Creator is because they don't want to face Him. The reason the world don't want to have a God is because one day they don't want to stand and face a holy and a righteous God. But they will. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Every person's going to stand before God one day. They can put it out of their mind. They can put it out of their textbooks. They can put it out of the colleges and the institutions of learning. All they want to does not change the effect that God one day will stand and they will be before Him. God has a plan for every one of us. And for you and I that are a believer, that plan is to find ourselves one day in this place called heaven. I'm going there. I have the assurance of the Word of God. I have the message of God's Word. I have the witness of the Holy Spirit. Only what I can know for sure about is me. I don't know about you. You don't know about anybody else but yourself, but I'll tell you one thing, you can know about yourself. And so we can understand that God has a plan for me. One day God, in His mercy, reached down and saved my soul and put my feet on that solid rock, and He gave me a purpose in life, and that purpose one day will be fulfilled, and one day I'll stand before Him. One day I'll stand before God. One day I'll be there, and He'll be my Lord and my Savior, and He'll be the one that I bow before because He purchased me. I'm His possession. I do not belong to myself. And so the reason that we warn people of heaven or of hell and try to bring them to the point, the knowledge of accepting Christ, is because the heaven is real and hell needs to be shunned and avoided. Our home, our place called heaven, Jesus Christ has prepared it for us. It's not made out of shoddy material, it's made out of great material. You read the Revelation, we'll walk on streets of gold. We'll walk around and we'll come to the gates of pearl, the gate of one pearl. And we find that all these things are for the believer. And by the way, as I mentioned this morning in Sunday school, when you're reading the Revelation, and if you can read it literally, take it literally. You say, do you believe there's a street of gold? I surely do. You mean that doesn't represent something? Well, it might represent something, but there's a street of gold in that place called heaven. The Bible says there's the gates of pearl. You mean there's the pearly gates? One pearl, one gate? I sure do believe that. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. But that doesn't keep me from believing it because I believe in a supernatural God. I believe God can work out our little square of the box. God can be on the outside doing things that I have no idea how He can do it or even why He did. I don't understand why He saved me, but I'm glad He did. I don't have to explain it. I don't have to understand it all. All I have to do is believe it and trust upon Him, and heaven is my home. Praise the Lord this morning. That's why we do what we do. We have a prepared home. For you see, when Jesus came to this earth, by the way, that wasn't an afterthought with God either. When Jesus came to this earth, the Bible says He came at an appointed time. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 tells us that He came just at the right time. And there He was birthed and born into a family there, Joseph and Mary. And Mary, being a virgin, never have known man. And we find that He came to this world and He preached the gospel of Himself. He provided the message and the messengers to go around preaching the gospel. And that message was that He has gone now to prepare a place for us. And you find when in Acts chapter 1, you find the disciples there, they're all talking with the Lord Jesus Christ and He is teaching them, and all of a sudden He begins to rise from the earth and He begins to ascend into heaven. And they hear a voice of the angel from heaven said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand you here gazing into heaven?" Well, we know where Jesus went. "Why stand you gazing in the heaven? For this same Jesus shall come again in like manner as you've seen Him go." Jesus didn't go in a spirit, and bless your heart, He's not coming back as a spirit. He's coming back as a person. He's coming again. And the reason we preach what we preach and the reason we have a missions conference or a mission revival as we're going to have this week is because there's a world out there that needs to hear about our Jesus. They need to hear the truth of the Word of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He has purchased that with His own blood. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 14. Revelation chapter 7 and verse number 14. I'll get there in a minute. I was in the wrong book. Revelation chapter 7 verse 14 says, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white." How? "In the blood of the Lamb." Now if you read the preceding verses there, it's talking about those that have gone through the tribulation, those of the different tribes of Israel. And they say, "Who are these that have come?" And verse 14, he says, "These are they that came out of great tribulation and they've washed their robes in the blood of Jesus Christ." Thank God one day He washed my sins away. I'm pure and clean and righteous in the sight of God, not because of what I did, not because of my prayer, not because of my thought, but because one day He came and He came to me where I was and I trusted Him and believed upon Him, and we wash our robes white in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God this morning we have something. We have a place that has been prepared by the Lord, and He's given it to us. He bought it with His own blood. Our fleshly homes are usually obtained by work and worry, but thank God our heavenly home is given to us as the great gift of God, purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Why do we preach? Why do we stand? Why do we sometimes seemingly spin our wheels and nothing accomplished? Because the Word of God is still true and there are still folks out there that need to hear the gospel. Multitudes dying, many of them have never heard. But you know, there are multitudes dying in our own community that have heard. There's many around us, there's doors that are just down the street and around the corner that have heard, but yet they still die in their sins. You go talk to them, they reject and they turn their back. Why do we do what we do? Because they still need to hear the gospel again. They still need to have the message given. They still need to have the understanding of salvation. This place called heaven. It's a place where that we can have peace and safety and security. Our verse that we read this morning in verse number 5. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What a peaceful place our heaven is. If I was to ask you this morning and was to go down each person, can anybody tell me somebody this morning that's had death come in their family in the last week? There's some of us in here that could raise our hand. Are there those of us in here that could say, well, I know folks that have very serious pain that comes to them every day? We could raise our hand. Or we might say, well, I know somebody this week that had a terrible thing happen in their family and sorrow has overwhelmed them. They just are almost beyond belief. All those things are part of life. Now, I know we have the prosperity gospel preachers that say, well, if you live right and do right and give enough money to them, you won't experience all that. But that does not change the fact. Those things are part of life. But the Bible says there's coming a day when those things are going to be the former things. Those are the things that are going to be passed away. And the Lord says, John says, He's going to even wipe away the tears from our eyes. How many of us can say, probably this week I know someone that has had tears in their eyes because of something that happened in their life or their family or someone they knew or some tragic thing, event or some doctor's prognosis given to something that takes place has brought sorrow and pain and tears. Thank God for you and I. One day those will be wiped away and the tears will be forever gone. Our place called heaven is a place that's peaceful. And the former things passed away never to be remembered ever again. Those are the things that are gone, neither crying. It says sorrow, crying, death. How many times we walk behind a casket to the cemetery and our hearts are broken and the anguish and sorrow is there because our loss of our friend or our loved one and we weep there at the tomb. Oh, thank God one day there's going to be no more. I heard a man preach one time on the land of no mores. That's where we're going. No more crying. No more dying. No more pain. No more sorrow. Those are the former things. That in itself is to be called heaven. No more bodies broken. No more distorted figures. Brother Ebert, no more broken hands. Those are the former things. That in itself is enough to be called heaven. But the Bible says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard. Nor has it even entered to the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Those are great things, but God says that's just a taste of it. That's just a touch. That's just a little bit. Well, it hasn't even entered into our minds what God has for us. And as much as the Lord has revealed to us and as great as heaven is and as great as a Christian life is, God says you don't even know what it's all about yet. But we'll wait till we get to our new home. Wait till we get there. A place called heaven. It's a peaceful place. It's a place that has the protection of God. You go to different places today, different homes, and out in the front of their yard, there's a little sign that says "Protected By." And it's got the name of the company. They've got cameras, and they've got the door alarms, and they've got window alarms. And it's protected. If you break that plane there, it'll go off. It might not go off where you hear it, but it'll go off where all of a sudden you'll hear the sirens coming, because it's protected. Well, my Bible tells me the place where we're going is protected. The Bible says we lay up our treasures in heaven, where thieves do not break through and steal, where moth and rust does not corrupt. Can you tell me one thing upon this side of God's heaven that does not corrupt? Give me one thing that gets better with time. You can build a brand new house. If you don't do anything to it, it'll fall down. It'll fall down quicker if you're not in it than if you're in it. Why does that happen? I don't understand all the laws of physics. I just know it happens. You can buy a brand new car. And you say, boy, I don't want to get 10,000 miles on that car. Why? Because that's a point where you say, I've used that much of it. And you get 36,000 miles, it's out of warranty. It's your baby then. Everything wears down. Everything wears out. I dare you to take five $100 bills and lay them out there on your porch and see what happens to them. Or it might not happen for a while. But somebody will come by and say, that looks like a dollar bill. And they go over, oh, that's $100. Well, there's five of them. And I'll just take them. Or you have it in your home. Somebody, you're gone for a while, and somebody says, oh, nobody will know. I'll just break in and I'll take what they've got. But my heaven is a place that's protected by God. It's where thieves do not break in. Anybody ever had a thief break in on them? Anybody? Okay. It's not a good experience. They break in your house and take your things that do not belong to them. They have no business there, and they take it for their own. My Bible says, lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust does not corrupt and where the thieves do not break through and steal. Put a sign on your heart, protected by God. He's the one that protects us. That's our home. That's our heaven. Earthly homes are subject to earthquakes and tornadoes. And my, we've seen and heard those. Fires and theft and decay. But our heavenly home, it's protected from all the elements. No riots, no destruction, no decay. It'll be there. It's protected. The Bible says in Psalm number 16, verse 11, at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. My place of abode one day is a place of pleasure in the Lord. Now we think of a lot of things today as pleasurable, fun. Americans live for fun. We all have that in our, I mean, we just have it. It's there. It's part of our culture. But there's a day coming that you and I need to understand that there is a place of pleasure. And it's just beside the Lord. It's just beside the Lord God of heaven. So God has prepared us a place, and it's not an afterthought. It's a place that He has prepared from the very beginning. Even before the foundation of this world was laid, God put into position and put into place this place called heaven. For my Bible tells me that Jesus was as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, before God spoke the world into existence. Jesus has already planned and purchased and everything put in position that one day He'd die on the cross of Calvary, and that one day He'd come again for me, and that one day He would set up His own kingdom. Hasn't been afterthought. And we're just living in what the Bible calls, or what we call, Well, the Bible does too, calls it the process of time. As time proceeds, we see the hand of God working the good pleasure of His will. What's going to happen in this old world? I read this morning a statement by Donald Gray Barnhouse concerning the book of Revelation. He's a writer from years ago. And to paraphrase what he said, if we know the book, we have no fear of what's the future because we know the author of the book. If we know Him, we can have assurance in our heart that one day it'll be said, all things are well. Be made whole. Can you say this morning in the assurance of your heart that you are a believer? That you are a Christian. Not what the world says a Christian is, but what the Bible says is a Christian. Can you say that with assurance that if you were to die this moment, and that is possible, I mean, any of us could leave this world at any time. That's why we better be prepared. Can you say, I have full assurance that if I'm out of here, that I'm going to heaven? If you can't, then you surely, certainly, need to make sure of how to get there. And it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not through some church or some organization or some ordinance. It's through the only begotten Son. Through Jesus. He and He alone. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father except through Him. And if you come to an understanding of salvation, then I can declare to you that you have a heavenly home. You have a home that's been prepared, and the Lord's taken it, and He's already bought it. You don't have to fix it up. You don't have to buy anything. It's a place that's peaceful. It's a place that's protected. And all the pleasures of the Lord are there. Why do we do what we do? Why do we preach? Why do I preach? Why do I do what I do? Why do we have the school? Why do we have mission meetings? Why do we have revivals? Why do we have preachers come? Why are we always doing something, preacher? Why? Because there's a hell to shun. And we need to warn people. And there's a heaven to gain. And we need to know what it's all about. There's a lot of people, I'm sure, that are saved this morning, and they have no idea what they have, we'll call it, in their portfolio. They have no idea what they have. Well, I'm saved. Oh, there's much more than just being saved. There's a home over there waiting. It's real and it's wonderful. It's a place where Jesus is, and we can abide there forever and forever with Him. Oh, what a wonderful time that it is. I'm glad this morning I know I'm saved. I'm glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm glad I'm going there. Are you going there? Do you have that knowledge? Probably most of us in here do. I don't know. Oh, what a wonderful joy it is to know one day we'll stand before the Lord. Kathy, can you sing that song again? Can you do that? Megan, you want to get that ready for her? I know this is off.